Hello, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma, Chapter 5, Mishnahs 3 and 4. Mishnah 3. Hikni shoro lechatzer balabayis shelo berishus. If a person brings his ox into the courtyard of a householder without permission, v'unkacho shoro shel balabayis, o shenshacho kalbo shel balabayis, patur. And the householder's ox gored it, or the householder's dog bit it, he's exempt. Nagahu shoro shel balabayis chayev. If it gore the ox of the balabayis, he's chayev. Nafal leboro vihivish meimav chayev. If it fell into his pit and fouled its water, he's chayev. Haya aviv obano lesocho mishamas a kofer. And if his father or his son were within this boar, he pays kofer, he pays the ransom. Vim niknis barashus balachatzer chayev. And if he brought it in with permission, then the balachatzer is chayev. Rabbi Omer, bekulan eino chayev, ad shekabel alav lishmor. And like in the previous Mishnah, Rebbe says, in all of these, he's not chayev, he's not liable, unless he undertook to guard it. So our Mishnah is a continuation of the preceding Mishnah. And it's elaborating on concerning a person who brings his property into another person's courtyard with or without permission. And now, the previous Mishnah taught foot and tooth. This Mishnah is going to teach horn damages. So if the person brought his ox into the courtyard of a householder without permission, etc., he's exempt because he brought his ox in there without permission, like we said. Now, if it's a shor tam, so he pays half damages, and if it's a shor mord, he'd pay full damages. Right? Rabbi Tarfon holds that even if a tam would pay full damages because it's in the domain of the injured party. Now, if he fell into the pit and fouled the water in the pit by the dirt that's on his body, the owner of the ox is chayev for the damage caused to the water. Now, if the father or the son were within the pit and the ox fell on them and killed them, he has to pay kofar, ransom. Okay, the Gemara explains that this is talking about a case where the ox was a muad to fall into people's pits. And the ox saw some vegetables in the pit and fell into the pit on account of the vegetable. It was going after the vegetable. In this case, the ox is not liable to be put to death since it didn't intend to kill a person. The owner pays the ransom. The Mishnah did not state that the father or the son in order to restrict the law to these two cases, but merely used a common example. The law applies to any other person as well. According to a different opinion, our Mishnah is in accordance with the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Tarfon, who hold that a tam pays full damages, like we just said, and full kofar, full ransom. So according to this, the Mishnah specifically states his father or his son to indicate that the subject is ransom in the domain of the injured party, but he's exempt from ransom for other people. Now, if he brought his ox in with permission of the balabayas, so the courtyard holder, the court householder, and the ox was injured by the ox or the dog of the balabayas, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that in all of these cases, the person who brought in his pots, produce, his ox, etc., with permission, the householder is not liable, unless he explicitly said that he would guard them. If he gave them permission without any conditions, then he's patur, he's exempt, because he did not undertake to guard them, and the person who brought them in is also exempt, because he brought them in for permission. Tomorrow, well, that's Mishnah 3. Mishnah 4. Shor shehaya mitzkaven lechavero, so if an ox intended to damage his friend, Vehika esa isha v'yatzu yoladeha, but by accident he struck a woman and she miscarried. Patur mi d'mei vladas, he's exempt from payment for the young. V'adam shahaya miskaven lechavero, but if a human being, a man, intended to hurt his friend, vehika esa isha and hit the woman by accident, v'yatzu yoladeha and she miscarried, misham d'mei vladas, you do pay the d'mei vladas. Ketza misham d'mei vladas, how do you make a payment for the young? Shaman es ha'isha kama hi yafa ad shelo yalda v'kama hi yafa mishe yalda. You evaluate or appraise the woman, how much she was worth before she gave birth and how much after she gave birth. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, im kein, mishe ha'isha yoledesh mishe bachas. So if so, after the woman gives birth, her value is more. Ela shaman es havlados kama hen yafin. So you assess the value of the young, and he gives to the husband that amount. Right? V'im ein la baal, and if she's not married, nosin li yarshav, you give it to her inheritors. Haisa shivcha, her heirs. Haisa shivcha v'nishkara, and if she were a bondwoman, a slave, who had been set free, o gioras, or she's a convert, putter, then he's exempt. So, the woman miscarried because of the blow. The owner of the ox doesn't have to pay for the payment of the young, because you're only obligated if a man strikes a woman, not if a, and intended to, not if he struck her by accident. And again, that's talking about an ox, but if a human being strikes a woman she miscarried, he does make the payment for the young, because it says, and if men strive together and hurt a pregnant woman, so she lost her child, her children, yet no harm follows to the woman, he shall surely be punished to make payment for the young to the husband. Okay, so our Mishnah does not restrict itself only to the specific case in which an ox intended to gore its fellow, because the owner of the ox is exempt. But if a man did, then using this, and it uses similar language, he's chayef, he's obligated to pay. How much? How do we assess how much? So we see how much she would be worth if she was sold as a slave before she gave birth, when she's still pregnant, and how much she's worth afterwards, if she had given a normal birth, not due to a blow. Right? And the difference would be the depreciation that would be paid directly to the woman, according to the Tosfos Yontif. The one who struck her must pay the difference to her husband, according to Rashi. So, payment for loss of the young and compensation for the appreciation caused by the young. How much the woman appears to be improved due to her pregnancy, according to Tosfos. Our Mishnah does not teach how to assess payment for the loss of the young, since all agree that the young are assessed separately, but rather how to assess the payment for the improvement of the woman due to pregnancy. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, if this is so, then there's no need to pay anything, because after the woman gives birth, her value is enhanced. She's worth more than before the birth, because there's a danger that a pregnant woman will die during childbirth. So therefore, he says, you assess the value of the young. How much are the young worth? And that's what he gives to the husband. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, there's no obligation for payment for improvement due to the embryo, but rather payment for loss of the embryo. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel refers to a woman giving birth for the first time because she's in danger. Payment for improvement due to the embryo does not apply to her. But if a woman had given birth previously, she's in no danger. We know that she gives birth well. So then he admits that the payment for improvement due to the embryo does apply to her. And according to the Chachamim, however, all payment for enhancement due to the embryo belongs to the husband, while Rav Shimon Gamliel holds it's divided between the husband and the wife. If she has no husband, it goes to the heirs of the husband. According to some commentators, even if he struck the woman after the death of her husband, the payment for loss of the embryo is nevertheless still given to the husband's heirs. On the other hand, the Rambam rules that payment for the loss of the embryo is given to the husband's heirs only if he struck the woman during the husband's lifetime. After the husband already died, then the payment of the loss is given directly to the woman. And if she was a Canaanite slave who was set free, and so she's now married either to a freed bondman or to a convert, so in other words, there's no heirs, or she's a convert, and again, her husband died and there's no heirs, then he's exempt from paying because there's no one to pay to according to halacha. Tomorrow we'll learn Mishnahs 5 and 6.